We've been going through 1 John. There's been two major themes. One is God is light, and the second is God is love. The God is light has taught us that we are to know who God is. We are to believe who God is, who He has declared Himself to be in His Word. And then God is love is showing us that we are to walk and live according to what we believe, according to who God says He is. In this morning's passage, we're going to come to really the crowning jewel of this of the letter that John is writing here, where he's going to come to this magnificent, simple three-word statement. So would you please turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And this morning we will be studying verses 7 through 12. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. I expect this will be an abbreviated message this morning. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. This is God's Word. Should have mentioned earlier, just another difference that we're having this morning. We don't have music. While we have licenses to play music during our church services, we do not have licenses to broadcast. And that's not just the music publishers, but that has to do with Facebook policies and YouTube policies and all that. So that's why we don't have music this morning. We can't legally broadcast them or record ourselves doing that and then publish that out to be watched later. God is love. In this passage, then, He's going to describe who God is, and then He's going to give us evidences of what that love looks like. Love. He begins by saying that God is love in verses 7 and 8 here. He's pulling from earlier in chapter 3 and chapter 4 now, starting off with beloved, again, that precious name by which He calls His children, by He calls the people to whom He's writing, He calls other Christians. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever is born of God knows God. He's been talking about this parallel realities that go together all the time, that when we are born again, when we believe in God, we act in love. Love comes out of us. That is the fruit of the life of the Christian. That God loves us and we therefore love one another. But He's not just saying that God pours out this love. He's not just saying that God is someone who loves or who exhibits love. It's not just something that God does. He chooses to love or decides to love or says, hey, it's Tuesday, so I'm going to love today. It is the essence of who God is. God is love. It is not something He simply does. It's who He is. It's His character. It's His nature. It's really the closest we have of the definition of God. God is love. Therefore, we are to love, says. That we and let us and calling us to love one another. For love is from God. Now, there's a sense in which all love comes from God. There's a what we think of as common grace. So even love among non-Christians has its source from God. But that's not the love he's talking about here. He's talking about the love between Christians. That we, as followers of Jesus Christ, because God is love, we now love one another. That the two go together. And so much so that if we do not love according to God's definition of love and ways of love, which we'll explore a second in a minute in further verses here, says then we don't know God. If we do not love, we do not know God. How can we claim to know God if we don't love one another? If we find ourselves getting caught with that passage, with that sentence in Scripture here in the beginning of verse 8. What do we do with that? Well, I want to love God. I think I love God, but I'm really struggling loving other believers or this one believer in particular or some group of believers. What's going on in my heart? Well, the response then is not to then try to manufacture love in ourselves, trying to come up and make ourselves love someone else. The response is to go back to God, to confess that to God, to ask God's help in loving, and to draw near to God. But when we know God and are close to Him, then His love flows out of us. It is the fruit of knowing God that we love one another. God is love. These three beautiful words here at the end of verse 8. God is love. And those are the words I was referring to as the center of John's epistle here. That God is love. Think about that very definition of who God is. He is love. Now, yes, that means in a broad terms that He loves all of His creation, and He loves the world, and He is very much aware of things like what's going on with coronavirus and what's going on with the economy. He's very much aware. But it also means, by very nature, that God cares about you. That God cares about every single pain, problem, fear, concern, every single joy, hope, dream for each one of us personally. That is the nature of God. There is no way in which He cannot care about every single thing that is going on in your life and the life of your families and the life of those who you love. God is love. Well, in the rest of this passage now, he's going on to describe two different ways in which that love is manifest, that love comes about. We see two different evidences of what the love of God, what the reality that God is love looks like. The first one in verses 9 and 10 is, God's love is seen in the cross. How do we know God loves us? We look to the cross. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He died as it says here in verse 10, that He was the propitiation of our sins. The big word. It means the atoning sacrifice. That He is the one that gave His life and paid for our sins. He is the one who made up the price for our sins, which, as Romans chapter 6 says, the wages or the price of sin, of our sin, is death. And so Jesus paid the price with His own life by dying on the cross. When we want to see the love of God, we look to the cross and we see Jesus stretched out His arms forever. and died for us. In this we know that God is love. We think about the cross. We meditate on the cross. We're coming up on Easter here, and that's part of what the season of Lent means, is that we pause and we reflect more so, even more so than at other times during the year, on our own sinfulness and the cost for Jesus. And we're going to celebrate together, and it's a strange word, I know, but as we go from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter morning, we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection for us. In so doing, in His dying for us, we see this love made flesh, the definition of God made flesh, that God is love. First evidence of God's love is seen in the cross. The second evidence of God's love is God's love is seen in how Christians love one another. Verses 11 through 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, what's the response then? What's the call, the command, and the outflowing fruit from the one who is born again? If God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. Lord, You are love. How do we see that? How do we experience that truth? By loving one another. This is a really great opportunity during the coronavirus and all the impacts that it's having on us. How will each one of us love one another? First, to believers, but then also extending the love of God to those outside the family of God. How can you love your family in this time? How can you love your co-workers? How can you love your neighbors? How can we love each other in the congregation? We can ask each other what we need, yes, that's wonderful. Continue to reach out through emails and texts and phone calls to say, hey, what do you need? Or, hey, I'm thinking of you. Or, hey, I'm praying for you. That's powerful. We can actively be praying that God would lead us into ways in which we can help. We can be attentive as we go about our day to looking for needs, looking for ways to love one another. This is the second evidence in John's passage here, that God is love. It goes on in verse 12 to say, no one has seen God. And so, in order to experience the manifestation of who God is love, He has us as His people to manifest that, to make His love known, to shout to the world, God is love. In this time, it doesn't look like God is love to many, many people. All they see is suffering. All they see is tragedy, and that suffering and tragedy is real. But where else can we go? Jesus has the words of eternal life, and in Him is life. God is love. Therefore, let us in this time be the hands, the feet, the voice of God as we go about and we love one another. He is spirit unseen, and so we as His people carry forth His name. God is love. When we go about and love one another. Brothers and sisters, it is my prayer that in this time period you would be experiencing the love of God, the reality of God, through meditating on the cross, and through experiencing it by receiving love from one another and reaching out in love to one another. Let us remember, let us remind each other and let us continue to shout forth to the world in word and in deed, God is love. Let's pray. Father God, thank You that that is who You are, that You are love. It is my prayer, O God, that each one of us would experience Your reality, Your love, Your power, in a very special way in this season, O God. Lord, help us to experience You through meditating on Your death on the cross, and to experience You as God of love through loving one another, Father. Show us how. Lead us into situations, Lord, every day where we can love each other. We pray all this in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.